Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you here today on this very special day, a day with Mary, and I'm very honored to be invited by Father Ray, to be here to say a few words today about Mary. Just talk about Mary, he said to me. This was in front of the abortion mill the other day, last Saturday. And so I'd like to start with a recollection with you on the beautiful scene from the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter, when Jesus is just forming his followers, his apostles. And they have been invited, or Mary has been invited, and Jesus with them, and the apostles kind of came along to this wonderful marriage feast. And Jesus is there. His mother is one of the servers. The mother is, the women were taking care of the food and feeding the people who were being married and the guests who came. And Mary mentioned to Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus seemed to put her off as though, what is that to us? What is that to you and to me? And she almost seems to ignore him. Mary, the mother of God, whom we honor this beautiful day with Mary. And she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And so Jesus then turns to the servants and says, fill the water jars with water. There were about 15 water jars, altogether holding about 150 gallons of water. And they fill them to the brim, as John mentions in his gospel. And they bring them to the chief steward. And the chief steward tastes the water which has become wine and tells the bridegroom, you have saved the best wine until now. And this was the first of Jesus' many miracles. And for some reason, this is the one that brings out especially the power of Mary's intercession with her son. It's one that I like to think of, especially on a day like today, when we gather to honor Mary. As you all know, we're about to celebrate her, the Feast of the Annunciation, which is usually tomorrow, Sunday, but this year, because of being on a Sunday. Normally, if it's on a Sunday, then we don't have it. But this feast is so wonderful, the Feast of the Annunciation, that we transfer it to this Monday, as I'm sure you're all aware of that. So we come together today to honor Mary, this wonderful mother of Jesus and the mother, our mother, as also a special way. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my relationship with Mary. And it started when I was a young boy at home. And I was very privileged to be able to go to Catholic school. I grew up in St. Paul's Parish in Edgewood, many of you know where that is, near where we have this morning rosary on Saturday morning for pro-life rosary. And I was one of seven children, number six of all things. Thank God my mother didn't like abortions. I wouldn't be here. And so I went to St. Paul's after my brothers and sisters, five boys and two girls, next to the last one. And there I learned of Mary. Our sisters were the Immaculate Heart of Mary's sisters. They had a tremendous devotion to Mary. In fact, they wore a big rosary around their belts throughout, as a kind of a belt. And they came from Scranton, Pennsylvania. They were very, very intelligent, very well trained. And they were always on the lookout for vocations. And I can remember when I was in about the second or third grade, a nun coming to me and say, I think you're going to be a priest. And I remember thinking, no way, sister. You're not going to get me. That was in the second or third grade. But one of the things they taught us was never to go by the church without stopping in to say, make a little visit to the Blessed Sacrament and to Jesus. And I began to listen to that. They told me, I believed it, and I began to stop in. I got to know him a little bit better, become a little bit more friendly with Jesus, thanks to these nuns devoted to the Mary. And eventually, I went to high school to LaSalle. And I remember one day a Christian brother talking about a vocation, what it means to serve God. And this touched me very deeply. I didn't want to be a brother, but I thought maybe I might like to be a priest. Another boy and I felt the same way. And within a few days, we took a bus down to Our Lady of Providence Seminary in Warwick Neck, Rhode Island. And before you know it, we were there. The next year we were there, which was the fourth year of high school. So I started early. And there, the patron of this beautiful seminary, some of you are familiar with, was a lady of providence, not Providence, Rhode Island, but a lady of divine providence, meaning a lady has to do with the providence of God. I could kind of feel her acting on me in that case, and it was a very difficult change for me to go from LaSalle, which is a good school, and to go down to the seminary, which was a better school, where they worked you harder. And it was a very difficult change for me, especially in what we call Latin. I had to really work hard to catch up, and I never really did catch up, I think, in Latin, but I managed to get through at least. And from there I went to St. John's Seminary in Brighton, Massachusetts. And my classmate there was Father Jim Hamilton, known to some of you. And between the two of us, we began to learn a little bit about Mary. And it seems that there, we were learning all this, of course, in school, but there was, at this seminary, this was right after World War II, it was in 1948 that we graduated from the first seminary to go there. And I want to tell you about one of the seminarians there who was just out of the Navy. His name was Jim. He had played football for Notre Dame. He was a very fine athlete. And first string, I believe. And in the Navy, he had been in underwater demolition, something like the SEALs of today. And he had this tremendous devotion to Mary, this consecration to Mary, where you would consecrate your life to Mary after St. Maximilian or St. Louis Marie de Montfort. We began to learn about that. And sometimes when a feast would come along, we had a beautiful grotto there, we'd go down to the grotto and say the rosary in honor of Mary, kind of step out, you might say, out of line and do that. And I began to learn a little bit more about Mary and about this idea of dedicating your life to her. And so I got through the seminary and was ordained a priest in 1953, if you can believe it. You can see I've been around a few years. And then I was assigned to St. Luke's Parish in Barrington, Rhode Island. And there they had a group called the Legion of Mary. And I was the youngest, so I got the assignment. Father Strzok was the pastor. Some of you may know him. And he started, as soon as we got there, he and I got there together. The real pastor was sick out in a hospital in the Midwest. And so he was the administrator, and I was his first curate, and he was my first pastor. And almost as soon as we got there, Father started a novena to the Lady of the Miraculous Medal to ask God's blessing on our parish. Parish was a good parish, much smaller than it is today, but you could see the influence of that of Mary on our parish. And I began to learn about the Legion of Mary. Some of you are familiar with it. And those who joined the Legion, and I was assigned to the Legion, but happily, and we met every week and said certain prayers in honor of Mary, said them every day, actually. And we would go out and visit homes, knock on the doors and see how they were doing, and visit the sick and all kinds of things. But basically, we were in Mary's army, spreading her love and serving her and her son through her. And it was a very nice time. It turned out, I found out later on that of those, the very small group, we met every week and they went out another night. Two of the members of the family became priests, two of the sons of these married members of our Legion of Mary. Many years later, they're supposed to be. But I think of it as a tremendous grace from the Blessed Mother as what she did. And then from there, I went to an inner city parish, and I was only there 3 years, in Providence, a much bigger parish where we had the Rhode Island Hospital in our parish, and there again we had the Legion of Mary. And again, I was assigned, God knows why, to the Legion of Mary. And one of our members there was a professor at Brown University. Our parish was pretty poor, inner city, many fine families. But people come from outside to join in this small group to go out to these many houses of the inner city. Many of them, some of you may remember Pine Street and Friendship Street. There are no houses there anymore. They're all torn down. But they were people who really needed us. And people came from outside to help. And one of them was this professor at Brown who was a professor of applied math. He was from China. And he was a very devout convert from China. And he later went to Yale, a very brilliant man, and just devoted his life completely to God. It's a tremendous influence on the rest of us. And his son, who became a priest later on. So Mary was very powerful in these assignments of my early priesthood. And from this parish, I decided, after 8 years as priest to join the army. I don't know why. I remember mentioning it to the priest I went to confession to. I said, Father, I think I'd like to join the service. I know they need priests very badly. And he said, that's a good idea. I think it would be good for you, he said, to do that. So next time I went to him, he said, did you do anything about that? And I said, well, about what? I had forgotten about it. He said, about joining the military. And I said, not yet. He said, are you going to? And I said, I don't know. But in fact, I did. And my life changed radically. When I left the diocese, I got the bishop's permission, left the diocese at 8 years a priest and began to travel around the world with the military. It was a tremendous. I thought I'd stay maybe 3 years, maybe five. And I was ready to leave after Korea, an assignment with the 2nd Infantry Division in Korea. And one of the young guys I was leaving said, where are you going, Father? I said, I'm going home. He said, you're getting out? I said, yeah, it's time to get out. He said, oh, you wouldn't get out, would you? He said, what do you think we'd do without you? And I said, I think it'd be tough if you didn't have a priest here. I decided to stay in. And from then I stayed on over 20 years, over 20, almost 22 years, until I was called out, believe it or not, to become a bishop. So that was a big change in my life. And all the time, I must say that Mary, the Mother of God, was with me, even to the extent that my last assignment in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, our parish was dedicated to Mary, Queen of Peace. And we had this old statue, kind of battered statue. And in our parish, there were people from Italy. And they said, you need a nice, better statue. Now, they went over and got a statue in Carrara, Italy. And we had a really beautiful statue. So all of a clear blue sky, I was called to be a bishop in the military. And I had to find a name. I had to have a coat of arms, believe it or not. And I had no idea what. And the priest said, well, of course, Mary. He said, Queen of Peace. That's your parish. That's your name. That became my name, Mary, Queen of Peace. And now I'm, of course, retired from the military, and things have changed. And I belong now to the Archdiocese for Military Services, which is was in New York when I first went there in 1983. And then it moved to Washington, D.C., where it is today. And our new bishop is Archbishop Broglio, who was a nuncio to Puerto Rico and to Dominican Republic. And we're starting to get on the map now. And all of you are aware, of course, I'm sure, that the church has some big problems today. We're kind of at war, in a way, with the government, with the Health and Human Services Department, who are telling the church that they have to do things, and we have many hospitals, as you know, in the Catholic Church here in the United States. I think something like 10% of the people who go to hospitals go to Catholic hospitals, because we like to take care of the sick. Matter of fact, if you ever go to Washington, you'll go to the St. Matthew's Cathedral on Rhode Island Avenue, and you'll see a little plaque. Hardly anybody knows about this, but I'm telling you a secret. And there's a little plaque across Rhode Island Avenue from St. Matthew's Cathedral. It's a plaque of sisters, religious sisters, taking care of the sick in the Civil War, the war between the states. And they were so wonderful that they put that plaque up. And they were so wonderful that President Lincoln decided that he wanted these sisters to be the nurses for the men in the soldiers' home. And they were for many, many years nuns because of the wonderful joy, wonderful generosity and skill that they gave to soldiers on the battlefield. So today we're on the battlefield again, in a way, because the government, strangely enough, probably for the first time in history, is asking us to do something against our conscience. It's not business as usual at this time. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's nothing about that. It's about the church taking care of the sick in the way that God calls them to do. And the government, for the first time, is asking us to do something so evil. So I ask you prayers for that. That we'll be faithful, and that God will bless us and help us to overcome something that's very evil. Because politics, as you know, gets into these things and becomes very difficult. When I was in the service, I came across a priest by the name of Emil Capon, who was a chaplain in the Korean War. When I was sent to Korea in 1965, he had been where I was now assigned, but in his time I was there not during war but in peacetime, although we had our incidents between the North and the South of Korea. And Father Imul stayed behind with the sick when we were told to escape when the North Koreans came in and overwhelmed the military, and marched to prison camps in North Korea. And there he helped young men to survive prison, which was very, very difficult, where the food was not enough to live, where they had to steal a little bit and somehow keep the faith. And his manner of keeping the faith, again, was with Mary. He made a rosary out of barbed wire, and he taught the men of all faiths to say the rosary. He died in prison camp himself after about a year, and he was not treated that well, nor was anyone. But many who did survive said it was only because of him and his tremendous faith, which was based on the rosary, on Mary. So those few words I say to you, just to kind of get in the spirit of this day of walking with Mary. And I'm sure you all say the rosary, and you all have great devotion to Mary. And I hope that she'll bless you and bless this day. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us also to stand up for our faith. These are difficult days, and it's not business as usual. We have to not be afraid. We in the United States tend to be kind of an immigrant church, I think. We all came from so many places and found a home here. But we're citizens, and we belong to this wonderful country of ours, and we must not be afraid. It isn't politics, it's faith. And Mary, our mother, who helped Jesus turn water into wine, will always be with us. May she bless us always. God bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.